Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Memches. We begin on Memches Samas Aleph by the second two dots. It's about a little bit more than halfway down the Daf, right next to the Tosos for Tinfu Kalev. We'll continue to learn for the safety of all the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, all those that are defending Eretz Yisrael. They should be safe, they should be secure, they should be successful in everything that they do to go and crush Hamas, Rishoyim, Yimach Shemom Zichram, to bring back the hostages safely and in good health, Bimheira, and Be'ezus Hashem, all those in need of a refuah shleima should have. There's so many Chayalim Nebuch that are injured and in need of a refuah shleima, and Be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should all give them a refuah shleima Bimheira. Okay, so we pick up, as I said, by the second two dots, Mem Chesem Aleph, next to the Tosos with the Tinfu, with quoting of the Mishnah. The Mishnah that said, Hichnis Shorul L'chatzar Balabais. If a person brought his ox into the chotzer of the balabais, a person didn't have permission to do so, then we had in the Mishnah, he did have permission to do so, different scenarios. Amar Rav, in any event, Rav says, Hichnis shoro l'chotzer balabais shlo birshus. If a person brings his shor into someone else's property, into the balabais, we call that person into the balabais's property without birshus to do so. And then that ox dug boros, v'chothar bo boros, shichin, and maoros. It dug various holes. Boros are pits, shichin are various types of cisterns, maoros is like caves or other types of cisterns. These were essential in those days for storage of water. So this ox went and dug various holes in the ground in the rishus of the Baal HaBayis without permission. So anybody that falls into these pits, Baal HaShor Chayev Binis Kechotze, he is number one, the owner of the ox is Chayev for the damage that's done to the courtyard. Now a guy has a pit, he has to go fill it in. So it's damage to his courtyard. However, in this situation, Ubaal HaChotzer, Baal Chotzer Chayev Binis Kechotze, the owner of this courtyard is Chayev for anybody that falls into this bor or this shichin or this mioros. Now, we'll see that this is only true if he says that I'm mafkir my property, and therefore other people have to go into it, because this way he's giving them rishus to go into it. So if some animal goes and falls now into this mufkir property that had the ox dig, the boros, shichin, and moros in it that didn't belong to this balabais, but then he's mafkir this property, so then, afal gav di omar mar, even though the pasuk tells us, ki yichre ish bor, even though we had learned previously that it's only if a man digs a pit, is there a din that the chiyuv is upon the owner of the man who dug this pit to go and pay for damages if an animal falls in below shor bor, and under normal circumstances, if an ox goes and digs a pit in the Rishus HaRabim, so that there is no din of ki yichre ish bor. There is no liability in that situation by the owner of the ox that digs a pit in the Rishus HaRabim. But our case is different. Hocha, kibon de isle lahaych lemaluye. Since this ox had dug a bor, a shiach, or a ma'ara in the Baal HaBayis' yard, and it therefore is incumbent upon him, he has the responsibility to fill in that pit before he goes and makes it into Rishus HaRabim, before he allows other people to go there. And therefore, in this situation, the lo komaya, he didn't fill it in, so therefore, it's as if, kiman dechaye dome, it's as if he dug that pit himself, and therefore, here in this situation, he would be chayev for any damages that occurred in the pit once he was mafkir it, because it was his responsibility to fill it in, and he didn't fill it in. While it's still his, so if somebody falls into it, so then it would be the baal of the ox who dug that pit that would be responsible. But once it is his, and his responsibility to fill it in, and he's mafkir it, so then it's as if he dug the pit. And if you dig a pit, and there's just a rabbit, and an animal falls into it, you are chayv. That's the first din that Rava teaches us. The Omer Rava, Rava teaches us the second din. He says, Hichnis shoru l'chatzar balabayis lo b'shus. Again, if an ox comes into the chatzar of the balabayis without permission to be there, v'hizik es balabayis, and the ox went and damaged the balabayis, so then, or, o bal habayis huzak bo, or the balabayis trips over this ox, so then, chayiv, the owner of the ox is chayiv, any damage is done to the balabayis. But Rava then says an interesting additional din, and he says, Ravatz, if the ox crouched down, the ox that didn't have permission to be there, and the ox crouched down, and then the man tripped over this ox, potu. That's the way we understand the Ravatz right now. It means if the ox crouched down, so then Kosoka Daitach Rashi says, Shahashta Ravatz Vishiber Kalim. Either the ox crouched down and broke some Kalim, O Nisko Balabais, or the Balabais tripped over this ox, Li Achash Ravatz, after the ox crouched down. So then, in this situation, the owner of the ox is not chayav to pay for either the kalim that he broke or the owner that tripped over him. So the Gemara questions this statement of Rava, really? Or Mishum, the Rava, it's Potter? This ox didn't have the right to be there. Why, just because it crouches down, is it now Potter from any damages that it caused by crouching down, either the breaking of the kalim or the fact that the owner tripped over him? So Gemara says, Omer Rapup explains Rava in the following way. He says, no, Ravatz doesn't mean crouch down. My Ravatz, when we said Ravatz, it doesn't mean the classical Ravitza of crouching down. It means Shehir Bitz Gilolim. It went and defecated there. So the feces that come out of this ox, that's what we're talking about. If this feces, this excrement of the ox, the Nitanfu Kelov Shel Balabais, it went and messed up the utensils of the Balabais. What do you mean by this? Rashi says in the Tavu Kelov, Li'achar Mikan, not right away. Because if it was right away, then it would be like Chatzinezik Tzroros. So it's talking about the ox deposited its waste over there, and then subsequently, the ox's waste is still left over there. And this now has the status of a bar. And therefore, in this situation, for an ox or a person that slips on this, you would be chayiv. But for the Kalev, a boar is potter for Kalim. And this is what Rashi tells us in the Nitanfu Kalev. We're dealing here with Achamikan. We're not talking about that it fell right away. And that's when he got hurt, because then he would be chayiv for the Kalim, because that would be like Chatzinezik Tzroros. But the Dafka Kalev, only for the Kalev you would be potter, because now it has a din of boar. Aval hu atzmo, huzak chayiv. If the person himself was damaged, so then this is an Adam who falls into a bar, and an Adam who falls into a bar is in fact the owner of the bar is chayav. Now here, why don't we say v'lo patrina le mishum ish bar v'lo shor bar? Why don't we say that? Because the whole midi the havu the day vishas nefila, because it belonged to him at the time of the dropping of the excrement kagon galalim, so it belonged to him at that moment in time. Ukagon shenof legumalo. It's no different than if you're camel falls down, and you don't lift it up. So then, then there is the din as if you dug it. We view it as if you dug it. The avogav the iulokari, even though you didn't dig it actually, elohagomol karo, even though your animal dug it, or your animal was the one that fell, or the glolim fell, but if it's right away, given b'shas nefila didehu, since it belongs to you at the moment that the glolim fell, the olel lisaluke, and you should have therefore removed it, and therefore it is as if kimo dekarya ihu dami. It's as if you went and did it yourself. However, if it's after a period of time, so then you would be chayiv for a person hurting themselves there, looks like a boar in the shusharabim, but you wouldn't be chayiv for the kalim, because as the Gemara, back to the Gemara, davya gelolim bar, because we view halachically like the gelolim now to be a bar, and for a bar, the din is that you're potter for kalim, you're only chayiv for a person or an animal that falls into the bar. So this is Rav Papa's understanding of what it meant when Rava said, Ravatz potter. Now, this fits in very, very well. The Gemara says, "Honich l'Shmuel." This is a machlokes we had earlier in the Masechta between Rav and Shmuel. We have this on Daf Chav Ches Omid Beis, where we had Shmuel saying that the Omar called Takola Barhu. Any such of a stumbling block over here has the status of bar. So the Gulalim have the status of bar, and therefore we understand why you're part of the Kalim. However, Ella Rav, but according to Rav, who says that no, it's your responsibility, like it was shore damage, like it was Karen damage, the Amar ad de mafkule, until you mafkir this item. Rav had said that when you gave people the rights to walk in that area, only on that situation is it considered that it's like bar. But until you gave people the rights to go there, Michael and Amar, so the Galala belonged to you, so you weren't mafkirit yet. So therefore, according to Rav, you should be chayiv for the Kalim. So the Gemara says, Michael Amar, what would Rav say in that situation? So the Gemara answered, no, even according to Rav, it's not a problem. Amrei, because stam glolim afkuri mafkilu, because you don't want those glolim. They're not much value. They have that dung, the excrement, the feces of your ox. So what are you going to do with that? You're not going to start schlepping that back to your field to go use it as fertilizer. So you are essentially mafkir. Oh, so then this works in accordance with Rav as well. Rav says that once you're mafkir, the area, so the bar damages then are considered only for Adam and not for Caleb. Okay, it's not a din of Karen then, it's a din of bar. I have another ruling of Rava, right? There's a third ruling of Rava today. Rava said, if a person nichnas lechatzir balabayis lo mishus, if a person entered into somebody else's courtyard without having the permission to do so, he enters into the balabayis's yard, vihizik as balabayis, and he did damage to the balabayis, or balabayis who's like bo, or the balabayis somehow got damaged by him, he tripped over him, he didn't have the right to be there, and the balabayis wasn't expecting him over there. So then chayiv. So then this person is chayiv for any damages that he caused, even though he was passive. The balabayis tripped over him, but he had no right to be there. The balabayis didn't expect somebody to be there. The balabayis is walking. He's looking at his cell phone. He's walking, and he trips over the guy because he didn't expect anybody to be there. He knows he has a clear path. So therefore, the person who went into that yard without permission is going to be chayiv. And furthermore, if while he's walking, he damages the guy that doesn't have permission to be there. He's looking at his cell phone, texting, and he's walking, and he trips over the guy, and he bangs the guy, and he breaks the guy's leg. So he's Zico Balabayis to this guy that had no permission to be there, Potter. The Balabayis over here is going to be Potter for damaging that person who he didn't expect to be there. And therefore, there is no liability on his part. Now, again, this was a statement that Rava made, and Rav Papa comes along and explains it a little bit further. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, we only said this din that Rava said just now, lo amarin, ela de lo have yadabe. This is when the Balabais had no knowledge whatsoever that there was another person in his yard. But, however, if he did know that the other person in his yard, avol, have a yodabe, he know the other person is there, even though he didn't give him permission to be there, but he knows that he's there. So now, he's Zico, Balabayis Chayev. Now, if the Balabayis goes and damages that guy, he knows he's there, albeit he didn't give him permission, you can't just go and damage him. So in that situation, if you go and damage him, you're Chayev. My timer, how come? Because, Mishum Da'amaleh, because the person who was there without permission could say to the Balabayis, okay, great, you have a right to throw me out. Need is lo rishus lafuke. You have a right to pick me up and throw me out. You have the right to call the police and have the police come and take me away, throw me in jail for being a trespasser on your property. But you don't have the right to go and cause me damage. Lazuke les loch rishusa. You have no right to go and damage me. So you knew I was here. So you should be careful not to damage me. Call the police, go and pick me up and throw me out, but not to cause me damage. That you don't have the right to do. That's a Rav Papa explains Rava further. And this is in accord with Azul Tamayu, the understanding that Rav Papa had of Rava. This goes in accord with the statements that previously Rava and Rav Papa made. The Omar Rava or other saves Zitim Rav Papa, either Rava himself had said it or Rav Papa had said it, and we turn to Memchas Omid Beis, Shnei and Berushus. If two people are going in a certain place and they have permission to be there, for example, Rashi says the top Rashi, Kigom Rishus Rabim, or Chotzer Shutrim. They're both walking in the Rishus Rabim, they both have the right to be there, or they're both walking in a common courtyard that they both own together, the Shutrim. Oh, Shinos and Lo Balabais, Rishus Likonis, or one person owns it, but the other person was given permission to go walk there. So in this situation, with Shtem B'Rishus, and they damage each other, or Oshtem Shlom B'Rishus, or both of them don't have the right to be there, as Rashi says, go in Shtem, Rosh B'Rishus Arabim. Both of them are running in the Rishus Arabim. You don't have the right to run in the Rishus Arabim. So in this situation, if they did damage one to the other, Hiziku Zeh Ezeh, if Reuven did damage to Shimon, they both had the right to be there, or they both didn't have the right to be there. So then, whoever did the damage is Chayovin, he's Chayiv, because they both had the right to be there, so you should be more careful, or they both didn't have the right to be there, and therefore, if you do any damage, you're going to be Chayiv. Now, Husku Zeh Bazeh, but if one tripped over the other one, they were damaged not directly, but indirectly. So in this situation, Turim, they're both going to be Potter. Now, what's the rationale in the first scenario where they had Rishus and they actively damaged each other, or they didn't have Rishus and they actively damaged each other, that we said they're Chayavim? And why, if they had Rishus or didn't have Rishus, Husku Zeb Zeb Turim? So the Gemara says time, and the reasoning is because when they both had permission to be there, they were Shnei B'Rishus, or Shnei Shalom Rishus, they're both in the same category. So if they actively damage each other, they don't have the right to do so. So therefore, they're Chayav. If it's an inadvertent thing, so then they don't have the obligation to pay because they either both didn't have the right to be there, or they both did have the right to be there. So again, the active damage, whether they had the right to be there or they didn't have the right to be there, they're going to be chayiv. And for the inactive damage, the inadvertent damage, somebody tripped over the other one, so whether they had the right to be there or they didn't have the right to be there, they're both going to be pturin. But the implication is, avol echad b'rishus v'echad shelo b'rishus, if one had permission to be there and the other one did not have permission to be there, the b'rishus potter, the one who had permission to be there, is going to be potter. He is not chayev for any damage that he did actively or inactively. And again, Rashi points out, this is assuming that he didn't know the other guy was over there. Because if he knew the other guy was over there, so then he would be chayev. And as Rashi says, in Dibra Masel, the Rishus Potter, because he had permission to be there, and therefore, Bein Hizik the Yodayim, he did it actively, Bein Hizik the Memela, or Huzak, he was inadvertently the cause of the damages, so he's going to be Potter, but only Ubedelo Yodale. He doesn't know the other guy's there, because as we pointed out from the previous statement of Rava, as explained by Rav Papa, that if you know the guy's there, you have the right to throw him out, you have the right to call the police, but you don't have the right to go and damage him. So therefore, if it was without knowledge that the guy is there, the Bershus Potter, and Shlo Bershus Chayev, the one who didn't have permission to be there, he's only Chayev, whether he actively damaged or whether he inadvertently damaged. So those are the three statements that we have now from Rabbah. We'll have more statements of Rabbah in a second. First, let's quote the Mishnah. Nofal lebor v'hivi shmeim of chayev. We had said that if an ox fell into the water collecting system, either the bor, the shiach, or the ma'ara of the balabais, and v'hivi shmeim of, and he ruined the water, so then he's chayev. The owner of the ox is chayev for ruining the water supply of the balabais. Now, Amar Rava, along comes Rava, and he explains this, and he says as follows. Loshana, we only said that the owner of the ox is chayev for hivish meimav of the balabayis, elo shehivish bishas defila, if only right at that very time that he fell in, he made the water foul. So, let's say the Rashi explains, shehivish bishas defila, devi mazik mamish velo domi lebar. In this situation, he directly went and ruined this water, so that is considered a damage like shar of Karen, but not of bar. So the ox isn't considered a bar in that situation. He directly damaged this water supply. So he was filthy, and he made the water undrinkable. Aboli acha nefila, but he fell in, and he didn't ruin the water supply. But then by staying in the water, he may go to the bathroom in there, he's doing all sorts of things in there, he digs up the ground, that the water is no longer drinkable. In that situation, Potter. The owner of the ox would be Potter for ruining the water supply of the balabais. Why? What's the reasoning? My timer. Because now the ox has become a boar. The ox is considered in this situation, after a while, have a shor boar. This ox has the halachic status of being like a boar. Umayim kalim. And the water here has the status of being like the kalim of the balabais. And as we said previously, the lo motzina bar, shechiev bo esakel. The Torah did not obligate a person who made a bar, even though he made it in the Shusha Rabbim, to pay for kalim that falls into that. It's only chayev for Adam or Behema that falls into this. So again, the Gemara says, similar to what we had a few minutes ago, Hanichle Shmuel, this works out very well according to Shmuel, Dramar kol takala baru, anything that is left in the Shusha Rabbim has the halachic status of a bar. So this shor that's now in this pit after a while, it didn't damage right away, so it now has the halachic status of a bar. And therefore, this takala, this ox being inside the other guy's water supply, so he has the halachic status of bar, the water has the halachic status of kalim, and for bar, you're potter for kalim. However, Elul Rav, according to Rav, who says no, that when you're mafkir your area, and only then are you mafkir your area, and now the bar is in an area where people have the right to be, and you own this bar, the Omer ad de mafkir le, so then you're only chayev as bar if you're mafkir. So here, the guy wasn't mafkir as shor. Why would you be chayev as a bar? You should still be chayev as a shor. And therefore, you should be chayev for the water damage that you did. Michael Lamer, what would Rav say according to this? So when it says, you're right, Rava's statement has to be re-explained. Elo, it mar hochim. If Rava made a statement, shelo shanu el shivish b'shas nefila, av liacha nefila, it's different. So then, Amar Rava, he said, Lo shanu elo shehivish migufo. You have to read that he's only talking about where the ox actually damaged the water directly with his body. Again, let's say the ox was dirty, and he did damage directly migufo. As Rashi says, shoya meluchloch betit. The ox was covered with mud, and he goes into the water. Now that water is filled with all sorts of dirty mud, and it's no longer potable. It's no longer drinkable. Avol hivish meirecho. As Rashi says, Rashi has the gifts of mireche from his own air. What does it mean? Lav gufehu de sirchon de nevela mimela osila. So he's saying the ox died, and the ox ultimately starts to deteriorate, and it starts to decay. And therefore now, unevela gromohu shigoremes lesirchon shiyovo. So now, this nevela rotting away in the water is what ruins this water supply. And that's avol hivish meirecho. So the air, the decay of this ox is what's causing the water supply to be ruined. Now, Potter. That's when he would be Potter. Why? My timer? Because this is Grama Binizakin. Grama Bi'amahu, or Grama Binizakin Bi'ama Lo Mechayev. So, in indirect causation, you're Potter Midine B'nei Adam. And that's how Rava explains the Mishnah, where he says that Eloshivish Bishas Nefilo Begufo, only then are you Chayev. But if you're a subsequent Grama Binizakin by just having the animal die and decay, and therefore that's an indirect causation, so then Grama Binizakin, you would be Potter. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hayo Aviv Obino Lesocho, if the Balabais' father or son was Bedafka in the pit, and the ox fell on him, Mishalim Esa Kofer. Then the owner of the ox has to pay Kofer. So Rashi brought down two questions over here. Number one, it's a short time. Why will you have to go and pay Kofer? A Tam doesn't pay Kofer, only a Mu'ud does. And number two, why did it mention that it was the father and the son, the Dafka? Could have mentioned any person. So now the Gemara will answer those two questions that Rashi had mentioned in the Mishnah. So the first question is, why Kofer? Vamai, Hatamhu, and a Tam is Potter for paying Kofer. Only a Mu'ud pays Kofer. So why is this ox over here who falls into a pit? He's not a Mu'ud to fall into pits. So why is he a Mu'ud? He should be a Tam. And a Tam should be Potter, me Mishalim as a Kofer. So that's the first question the Gemara has. So we're going to give several terutzim. So Amar Rav gives the first terutz, and he says, "Bemuad lipol abnei adam beboros eskina." No, we are dealing with an ox that's a muad over here, and it has fallen in three times previously into a bor and killed people, and therefore it is a muad to fall into boros, and that's why you pay kofar, because it's a muad. Mor says, "Ihachi then barktolu." So then, why is this not ishara niskal? If we have proof that this ox had fallen in previously, so it should have been killed either the first time it fell in, or the second time it fell in, or the third time it fell in. Had it become now to be a Shor HaMu'ud, Bar Ketalu, it should have been killed. Now, previously, Rashi points out, we had given several terutzim why that wouldn't apply. How do you ever get a Shor that is a Mu'ud to go pay kofar? It should have been killed when it was a Tam. So Rashi reminds us, Bar Ketolahu, Binefila Kamaisa, it should have been killed with the first fall. Vech Boli De Mu'ud. How could it possibly ever have three times? It should have been killed at the first one. So Gemara says, Rashi brings down that we learned previously in the Gemara, Bishlomo Gabi Mu'ud Dinegichos, when an ox gored three times, you could have it not be killed, because we give at least three terutzim. And Rashi brings down three terutzim over here. Ikla Meimarki, the meaning of Pirkel El, or we learned on Daphne Aleph in the previous parak, the Kotal Yarak, it killed, but then it ran away. And then it killed and ran away. Killed and ran away. So we didn't get a chance to put it to death. Oh, now it's a short move. If it kills, now it's going to be put to death, but he's also going to have to pay kofar. Alternatively, terrence number two, Inami, Bishain Makirin, it's a short. We had witnesses know that he had a shor there that killed, but we don't know which one in his flock killed, so we couldn't put them to death, but he should have watched it carefully. And now when it kills, after three times, this is the shor that is the mu'ud. Alternatively, Inami, Shehuz mu zomme zomim. There were Edom zomim that said, no, it didn't kill, so therefore it wasn't put to death. There were Edom zomim that came in second time, said, didn't kill. Third time, didn't kill. And then those Edom were found to be Edom zomim. So therefore, in retrospect, it did kill the first, second, and third time, but we couldn't punish it. So now it's a shor mu'ud, and it wasn't killed as a shor tam, and now it kills again. So therefore, there is a din of mu'ud in those scenarios. Avozeh. But here, with the ox falling into the pit, the ox can't get out of the pit so quickly. Lo olam in habor. The ox didn't get out of the bor me'ela by itself, and therefore none of these three terutzim could apply. The lek lemeimar arak. Can't say the ox ran away to the swamp and that's why it was high there, because it couldn't get out of the pit on its own. So we caught it. So there's no way. It should be hit three times. You catch it the first time it killed somebody, it should be put to death. It's a shor nitzkal. And likewise, v'lo ein makirin, they can't have the case, well, we don't know which ox did it. It's the ox in the bottom of the pit that's sitting on top of the nebuch, the dead person. So that can't be a teretz. And likewise, lo huzmu, you can't say over here that the eidim's omen, because this is the milsa, this lekalihi. This is something that's very well known, and nobody's going to be able to go and give false testimony over here, because this is a very, very well-known episode, and everybody went to see what happened, and therefore, there's no way that you could have any of those terutzim that we gave previously. How you could have a shor become a muad by Karen, those could apply, but not over here by the ox falling into the bar. So how could Rav tell us that this is b'muad lipol abnei adam b'boros taskinan? It should have been killed the first time this happened. How did you let it happen three times? So Rav Yossi says, no problem. Or Rav Yossi says, no. Rav is talking about the chazo yerok of the nofal. And we had this previously as well, that the ox sees there's some sort of green stuff there at the bottom, the chazo yerok. It sees vegetables at the bottom and says, woo, that looks very tasty. And it goes to try to reach the vegetables and it falls in. So therefore, this is unintentionally killing the people that are at the bottom of the bar. And for unintentional misa, we don't go and say it's a Shara Niskal. Only intentional is it called a Shara Niskal, but unintentional it's not called. So it did this three times, so it's a Mu'ad for doing this. And now when it goes and kills a person, the fourth time, there is a din of Kofar. That's Teretz number one for Rav. Teretz number two for Shmuel. Shmuel Amar Hamani, who does this Mishnah go like? It goes like the Bina Riozeg Lili. Now what did Riozeg Lili say? The Amar Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kofar. He holds it as a din of Chatzi Kofar. We hold that, no, not like Rabbi Yosef Lili, we say the Chacham's opinion is that there is no din of Chatzi Kofar by a Tam, but Rabbi Yosef Lili disagrees with that. Rabbi Yosef Lili says that there is a Tam, Mishalim Chatzi Kofar. So you know what? When we say over here, Hoya Ovi will be no Lusoch, Mishalim is a Kofar, it means Chatzi Kofar, because it's a Tam. So he doesn't necessarily disagree with Rav. He would agree with Rav that if that was the case, he'd also pay, it would be like a Mu'ad, and he'd play a Kofar Shalem, he'd pay the full Kofar, but here we're talking about that it's a Chatzi Kofar. So therefore, no problem. That's what it means when you pay it. That's Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Ulamar, again, they're not mutually exclusive. Ula says, no, you argue the Rav Yosef Aglili, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Yosef Aglili, who says that you pay Chatzi Kofar, but it also goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, who says in this situation you pay Kofar Sholem. The Omar Rabbi Tarfon, he holds like Rabbi Tarfon, Rav Yosef Aglili holds like Rabbi Tarfon. The Omar Karen, Bechatzara Nizak, Nezu Sholem Shalem, that when you're dealing with a short Tam, but it does Karen damages in the chatzar of the nizak, so then you don't pay chatzi nezek, you pay nezek sholim. So too, you don't pay chatzi kofar, you pay kofar sholim. Hochanami, kofar sholim mishalim. Oh, so that's the third teretz. Now, Gemara says, bishlam al ula, everything works out very well according to ula, hainu diktane. Well, we understand why it says, hayo aviv obino lisocho, bedavka was the father of the son, who has the right to be there. It's their balabais, so to say. It's their yard. And therefore, you pay as the chotzer of the nizak, you have to pay for the balabas. It's his yard, his father, his son. It's considered their yard. And therefore, that's why you have to pay kofar sholem. El l'shmuel, my year, your aviv obino, what difference does it make whether it's the father or the son? It's chatzi nezek. It's chatzi kofar. And therefore, afilu acher nami, it should be for someone else as well. So why did the case in the Mishnah, according to Shmuel's on sin, it's just Rabbi Yosef Aglili, why did Bedavka have to mention that it was the father or the brother? It could have been anybody else there. And you'd also have to pay the Chatzi Kofar. So where is a real Balabat HaShateretz? Urchei the Milshiktani. Who's likely to be there in this guy's pit? Mitzvah is his father, Mitzvah is his son. Why would another person be over there? So it just gave an example, a practical example. And the father and the son was there, but you're right, 100%. If it was somebody else, the same din would apply. So all three terutz, and Rav's terutz certainly is good because he gives a very practical explanation why it's a mu'ad, and therefore you don't have to say this is das yochid. But according to Shmuel, according to Ula, it goes according to Pini Rav Yosef Lili. According to Shmuel, Lav Davka, it goes like Rabbi Tarfon. According to Ula, he also holds like the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, and that it's Nezek Shalem. According to Shmuel, it's Chatzi Nezek, and it wasn't Bedavka, the father of the son. It just was giving the practical likelihood who was in that pit that the ox Nebuch would land on. Then we quote the Mishnah, v'imhichlis b'rishus b'al chotzer chayev v'chulei. If it went and damaged with rishus, so if the ox was allowed to be brought in there, so then we said that the owner of the courtyard, the balabais, is going to be chayev. And then we brought down Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe said, no, unless he accepted upon himself to take responsibility for it, if he said, shekibel lelea b'al habayis nitirusa, only then is he chayev. That was Rebbe's opinion. And we learned out that, therefore, the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, held no. The Stam position is that you've accepted upon yourself responsibility. And Rebbe says, no, the Stam position is you didn't accept upon yourself responsibility. It's only if you Bedafka said, I hereby am a Kabbal myself to be responsible, then only and only then you're going to be Chayv. So that was the Machlokus Chacham and Rebbe. Gemara says, Itmar, we learned Lamaisa, Rab Amar, Hilchusor Kitanakhama, Rab Pasuk like the Tanakhama, that you Stam position, you accept upon yourself the Shmira, and Rebbe, Rav doesn't hold like Rebbe. Ushmuel Amar, no, Halchazoki Rebbe. Ushmuel says that Locha follows Rebbe, that only when you specifically accepted upon yourself the Shmira is that the time that you're Chayiv, but Stam, you would not be Chayiv, you didn't accept. Now, Tana Rabban, we learn the following Braisa, Kinos Sharcha Vishamro. If the Balabai says to another person, it's okay, you can bring your ox into my courtyard, but you better watch it. It's your responsibility. I'll let you walk there, but you better make sure that your animal doesn't do any damage. Vishamro, you have to go and watch it. That situation, he's a chayiv. If the ox did damage, so the Balabai has told the owner of the ox, you're going to be chayiv. So therefore, in that situation, he's a chayiv. But Huzak Potter, if somebody tripped over the ox, so then that ox owner is not going to have to pay for the damages of whose ox, where was it inadvertent, because the ox had the right to be there. That's the first part of the brisa. Then the second part of the brisa says, "Kinos shorcho vani ashmirenu." Go and bring your oxen here. You have my permission, and I will watch it. Vani ashmirenu. So then, who's achayev? Now, if the ox is damaged, it got damaged. So chayev, the Baal HaBayis, is required to pay because he took upon himself the shmirah of that ox. But hizik, if the ox did damage to the yard, he broke the kalim of the Baal HaBayis, or he did some damage to the yard, so then Potter, the owner of the ox, doesn't have to pay, because the Baal HaBayis, the Baal HaChatzer, he accepted upon himself responsibility to watch that ox, and therefore any damages that ox did, it's his responsibility, since he damaged himself. So the ox damaged the Baal HaBayis' property, so Potter, there's nobody that has to pay for it. It's just the loss that he has to suffer. Now, this is the brisa. We had a reisha to the brisa and a seif to the brisa. They seem to be contradictory because of the implications. Haguf Akasha, the Gemara says the brisa is mutually contradictory. First, you say in the reisha, Amritz Kino Shorcho Ushamro, that I'm giving you permission to bring the ox in, but you better watch it. And therefore, he's a chayiv. If the ox did damage to the Baal HaBayis' property, or to his kalim, or to another person, chayiv. The owner of the ox is chayiv. Who's ox? But since the ox had permission to be there, if somebody inadvertently trips on the ox, so who's ox? Potter. Now, the implication is, taima, the only reason why you're chayiv in the case of the ox doing damage, because he told the guy, I'm not taking shmira for your ox. Taima, the amale shamro. He told him, you better go watch your ox. The chayiv, bala shar. In that situation, the owner of the shar is going to be chayiv, upad the bala chatzer. And the bala chatzer did not accept responsibility for it, and therefore, he would be potter from having to pay for the damages that the ox did. If the ox did damage to someone else, let's say, and the Baal HaShar would be chayev. But the implication here is that if it was Stam, he said, sure, you could bring your ox in. And he didn't say Shemaro, and he didn't say, I'm going to watch it. So the Stam situation, Hostama, chayev Baal Chotzer, upat the Baal HaShar. The Stam situation is that the Baal HaChotzer did take upon himself responsibility, exactly like the opinion of the Chachamim, of the Tanakam of our Mishnah. So, Chayav Baal Chotzer, upat the Baal Shar, because the Bistama Mekabel Alei Nitirusa, exactly like the opinion of the Chachamim, the Tanakam in our Mishnah. But then look at the Seifa, Ema Seifa, that goes like Rabbi, Kinoz Shor Chavanish Renu, bring your Shor in and I will watch it. And then in that situation, who's that Chayav? If the ox did get damaged, so the Baal HaBayis is Chayav. He said, I'll watch the Shor. And he's a potter. And if that Shor did damage to the Baal HaBayis' property, it broke his kalim, so then the owner of the ox is potter, because the Baal HaBayis said, I will watch it. Taimod the Amale Vani Yashmenu. It's only because he said, Hinni Muchel Mezumul, Kabal Alei Baal HaBayis Nitirusa. He accepted upon himself to go and watch the ox. And therefore, who the Mechayev Baal HaChatzer upon the Baal HaShar. Only in that situation we specifically stated, like Rebbe, I accept upon myself the Shmira of this ox. So then, the Baal HaBayis is going to be Chayev, the Baal HaChatzer is going to be Chayev, and the owner of the ox is going to be Potter. Implication being, Hostama, without him saying that, he just gave permission for the ox to come in, Chayev Baal HaShar upon the Baal HaChatzer. In that situation, the Baal HaShar would still be Chayev for any damage that he did, because the Stam situation is that the Baal HaChatzer, the Baal HaBayis, did not accept upon himself the Shmira. So only in a case where the Baal HaChatzer said, yes, I will watch it, Kino Shor Chavani Yeshmerenu, only in that situation would the Baal HaBayis be Chayev, and the Baal HaShar would be Potter. But the Stam situation, Ostama, Chayev Baal HaShar, Upata Baal HaChatzer, the Stam situation would be that the Shor owner would be Chayev, and the Baal HaChatzer, the Baal HaBayis, would be Potter, because the Bistama, Lo Mekabel Alei Nitirusa, he didn't accept upon himself the Shmira. And therefore, also the Rebbe, this goes according to the opinion of Rebbe, where the Gemara says, the Omer, we have the Girsa Achi Kabel Alei Nitirusa, Baal HaBayis Lishmar. So the box just changes around to the Girsa we have in the Mishnah, Achi Kabel Alei Baal HaBayis Nitirusa. So what do we have? Bottom line is, Reisha is the Rabbanon, the Sefer Rebbe. The Reisha is the opinion of the Rabbanon, that the Stam position is that you, in fact, do accept upon yourself Shmira, and the Sefer is the opinion of Rebbe, that only if you specify that you're accepting upon yourself Shmira, you're Chayiv. But if you didn't, the Stam position is that you're not Chayiv, like Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, you're 100% right, Tavra. We have to smash it, it's mutually contradictory over here. Mishu Shana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. The author of the Reisha cannot be the author of the Sefer, and vice versa. It's two different opinions. So whoever was the author of the Reisha can't be the author of the Sefer, because he would have specified, this is Rebbe, this is the Chacham. It must be two separate authors over here. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Amar, Kula Rabbanan Hi. In fact, the entire Mishnah could be the Shita of the Rabbanan. No, the Reisha, we had no problem. That was Stam. He did accept upon himself Shmira. But the Sefer seemed to imply that Stam, he didn't accept upon himself Shmira. No. I did not say Reisha, Shomro, Sotana Sefer, Vani Yeshurenu. That was just parallelism. But you can't learn any implication from the Sefer. The Sefer would be, in fact, that even if he didn't accept upon himself specifically, the Stam position is Yechayim. Why did it say Vani Yeshurenu? Because the Reisha said Vishomro. So the Sefer said the parallelism Vani Yeshurenu. But it means, even in the Stam situation, that he accepted upon himself Shmira. That's Rava's teretz, teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rapapa. Rapapa Amar, no. Kula Rebbe. You can say the entire mission is Rebbe. So the Sefer is no problem. That was clearly Rebbe. The Stam position, you don't accept upon yourself. I had a Reisha. The Stam position seems to say that you do accept upon yourself. How would Rapapa explain the Reisha? So he says, the Savaloka Rebbe Tarfon, the author of this Mishnah, holds like Rebbe, and he also holds like Rebbe Tarfon. What did Rebbe Tarfon say? D'yomar, Karen, b'chatzor Nizak, nezek sholem mishalim. He says, no, since you're in the chatzor of the Nizak, you have to pay full damages, no matter what. And therefore, in this situation, you have to say, Hilkach, amale shmaro, you have to go and watch your cow, so then, lo mikdele mokum b'chatzor. It's as if he didn't give him right to be there. And therefore, it's not the chatzor of the Nizak. And that's why you're chayim. He didn't have the right to be there, essentially. Yeah, I'm letting you come in, but it's not your yard. It's still my yard. And damage done in the chutz of the Nizak, by the way, Karen b'chutz of Nizak, and Karen b'chutz of Nizak, b'shalim nezek sholem. That's Rabbi Tarfa's din. Right? The Chum disagree with that. They say he paid only chatzi nezek. So the Reish is talking about where he told him, I'm not watching your ox. Lo, I'm a lo shamro. Then, in that situation, it's not called the chotzer of that person. It's still called the chotzer of the nizak. And how do you like kerem chotzer nizak? The kerem chotzer nizak, sham kerem nezek shalom. Fine. However, lo amar le shamro. If he didn't tell the owner of the ox, go and watch your ox. In other words, he says that you have right to be there. Aknuye akne le mokum chotzer. I'm giving you permission to be there. It's no longer called the chotzer of the nizak. It has the halachic status of shutfin. How do you like chotzer as shutfin? So even though it's going according to Rebbe, who says that he didn't accept upon himself responsibility without specifically stating so, but now it becomes the chotzer of shutvin, the keren b'chotzer ha-shutvin, ain't m'shalem el-chatzi nezek. Then you pay chatzi nezek. So when it says that you're potter, it means you're potter of nezek sholem, but it means you would have to pay chatzi nezek. So therefore, Rava says the whole Mishnah could be like Rebbe, like the Chachamim, and Rapapa says the whole Mishnah could be like Rebbe, or like the answer of Rebbe Lazar, Tabra. They're two different authors. Okay, let's go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Shor Shoyim Miskavim L'Chaveiro. If you have an ox that's specifically intended to go gore another ox, why does it say Chaveiro over here? Because the Din Rashi points out would be the same even if it intended to gore a person. So the Shor over here doesn't pay for the Vlados. We learned that previously, as Rashi points out. In the bottom Rashi, even if the ox intended to gore the pregnant woman, the din is that we learned previously on that days that we said ubala shor noki, it meant mi deme vlados noki. So the Gemara is going to ask, am I not cut miskavi lechavero? Why does it specifically say to be miskavi lechavero? And the Gemara will answer because of parallelism. It's going to say the next case that it's a bedavka and adam who's miskavi, so therefore it says the shor is miskavi. But the bottom line is the din would be the same whether the shor was miskavi to go gore another ox, or even if the shor was miskavi to gore the pregnant woman, shor shor miskavi lechavero, or the actual pregnant woman, vikos isha, and it went and caused the woman to miscarry, the yotzu yilodeh, she miscarried, so potter midbei vlados. In this situation, the owner of the ox doesn't have to play for the vlados. But the Adam showing miskavi lechaveiro, here you bedavka need, he was miskavi lechaveiro, vikos isha v'yotzu liyodah, and instead of hitting the other person, he hit this pregnant woman, and nebuch she miscarried, v'yotzu liyodah, mishalim dmei vlados. You have to pay the dmei vlados, the value of the miscarried children, what they would have been worth if they'd come to life. So then, that is the responsibility of the guy that hit the pregnant woman. Now, how do you go and establish how much those miscarried children are worth? Keitzah, Mishalim, Bev, Lodos. So, the Mishnah tells us, you evaluate the woman, Shomer, Isha, Kamehi, Yofa, Achlo, Yoda. You evaluate the woman, how much she's worth when she's pregnant. The Kamehi, Yofa, Mish, Yoda. And how much she'll be worth on the slave market after she's given birth. So, when she's pregnant, she's worth more, the Mishnah is assuming, than after she gives birth. And therefore, that's the damage. So she was worth 1,000 when she's pregnant. She's worth 800 when she's no longer pregnant. So that the value of the Bei Vlados is 200. Okay. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along and tells us, and we turn to Mem Tesem and Aleph, Im Kain, in this scenario, I don't understand your reasoning. Misha Isha Yoledes Mashpachas, she's actually worth more, because, as we'll see in the Gemara, you don't have the risk of her dying in pregnancy. They used to have, very, very high mother's mortality rates, maternal mortality rates, Rechmon al-Islam, giving birth. It used to be a 10% mortality rate. You find many, many times, even in recent times, that Nebuch, the first wife, passed away, and they go marry the sister, because who else was going to want to raise all the pitzalach that a Nebuch did? The aunt, the maternal aunt, is the most loving person to these children, usually. So this was many times found in the Gemara, but you find this in Europe not so long ago. Nebuch, the maternal pregnancy rates were very, very high. So Rav Shimon Gamliel actually says that in this situation, the woman is worth more after she gives birth. So that can't be how you evaluate the May Vlados. So he says, El Shomanis of Vlados, Kamehen Yomfi. If these children were to be live children, how much does the person pay to have to go raise these children, albeit they'll be slaves to them? So how much are you willing to pay for them? That's the May Vlados. Then the Mishnah continues and says, V'nosin Labal, and who gets the May Vlados? So we learned previously, we had the Gemara and Daf Mem Gimel, that goes, based upon Pesukim, to the husband. No, Imein Labal, there is no husband in this situation. The husband passed away. So no Shilin Yarshim, it goes to the Yarshim of the husband and not to the Yarshim of the woman. If this was a woman who previously was a shivcha, Rashi says we use this lashon that she previously was a shivcha rather than just saying shivcha mishuchreres to show us that it was a recent happening and therefore that this woman doesn't have any other children. She doesn't have any other yarshim for her. So ha'isa shivcha v'nishtachra. So in this situation, if this is a woman who had recently become a free woman, so she had become impregnated when she was a kenani, shivcha kenani, from an Eved Kenani, so now there are no relatives over here, O Giores, or in fact she was a Giores, so this woman, Mistama, married a Ger. That's just, Rashi says, the normal way that it was. So therefore this Ger, or the father of the children, was an Eved Kenani himself, and he became freed. So in this situation, they have no other Yarshim. Her husband, the one who impregnated her, has no other Yarshim. So therefore, in this situation, the person who Nebuch caused her to miscarry, Potter, he doesn't have to pay damages to anybody because there's nobody that is the equivalent of the husband. There are no Yarshim to the husband. There is no husband around. So therefore, he doesn't have to pay because it's as if he'd be paying to Hefker and he's Kona from the Hefker and therefore Potter in this situation. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's share.